Chapter 26.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Unusual, this is. Very unusual, Yoda said, a frown marring his wrinkled face. He'd been frowning a great deal recently, Mace knew. It seemed that Qui-Gon Jinn's fall from grace had struck him particularly hard. Mace didn't feel very sympathetic, since it was due to Yoda's interference that Obi-Wan's unfortunate situation had been created at all. Quite frankly, the only reason Yoda had not been kicked off the council entirely was due to his position as Grand Master of the Order. And still, there had been frequent discussions amongst those on the council of transitioning Yoda into a less powerful position. He'd already been banned from providing input to the Council of Reassignment, at least. Our entire situation is unusual, to be frank, and that has not stopped us so far, Plo said firmly. Since leaving the healers, they had deposited both of their Padawans in the care of Deppa in Mace's quarters, and borrowed Plo's quarters for a discussion. In the end, they had both decided that sharing space was perfectly feasible, and if it would benefit their Padawans, entirely worth it. Hadn't Mace just been thinking that his quarters felt quiet? Though John was still reticent, perhaps having his friend around, and Mace showing that he cared for both of them, would help move his Padawan further on the scale of trust. With the two of them decided, Mace and Plo had only one more hurdle before approaching the quartermaster. Approval from the council itself to embark upon an unusual arrangement of apprenticeship. What you're suggesting is a subversion of the one master, one Padawan rule, Eeth said uneasily. Mace snorted. Hardly. That rule was created after a war that changed the face of the Order. It was designed to ensure that masters were able to pay enough attention to Padawans while everyone recovered from severe trauma. In this situation, not only do our Padawans have someone dedicated to them specifically, they have an additional master available to support them if necessary. That's accurate, historically speaking, Jocasta offered. Sifo-Dyas laughed. The man had circles under his eyes that were practically bruises at this point. Mace knew that the other master had been heavily influenced by the rapid changes occurring around them. Mace was nursing an eternal headache these days, from the constant snapping and forming of various shatterpoints. But from what Sifo-Dyas had shared with the council, the entire future had shifted, and he was being bombarded nonstop with the new possibilities. You might as well just give in now, he said tiredly. Your decision will ripple through the future regardless. But to train two, both of you, Mundy said. Do you intend to form a bond with each other's Padawans? Mace paused. He and Plo had not discussed that specifically, but we likely will in time, if both Padawans are amenable, Plo said, after glancing quickly at Mace. Mace waved his hand for his friend to continue. But many Jedi share bonds outside of assigned training relationships, do they not? The members of the council all shifted, perfectly aware that Plo was correct. Any other objections? Mace asked dryly. Each individual room is atmosealed if that was going to be your next token complaint. Yaddle laughed. Believe, I do, that call this to a vote, we should. Mace and Plo abstained, for obvious reasons, but still, they were granted leave to request a suite from the quartermaster. On your heads, be it, if start a trend, this does, Yoda grumbled. For Mace's sanity, he chose to ignore him. After consulting with the quartermaster on an available suite still comfortably close to the council chambers, Mace and Plo split off to their own quarters to begin packing. Before automatically entering his code, Mace knocked in warning. He thought it was best not to startle John and Obi-Wan, considering how jumpy they had to be feeling. The sitting room was empty. Mace felt a rush of panic before he came to his senses, and sent a brief query of concern, locate, where, along his bond with Deppa. His first Padawan sent the sensation of focus, adrenaline, sparring, that meant all was well. Now that Mace was no longer panicking, he checked his comm to see a message from Deppa about taking the boys to go work out some energy. With no John to dance around, Mace shrugged and began to pack all except his Padawan's rooms. He'd accumulated a great deal over the years, both large and small. A sizable chunk of it was gifts from Deppa that he was wary to handle too roughly, lest they explode. As there was no Padawan to set an example for, Mace used the Force to expedite the process. By the time Plo knocked on the door, Mace had all of his things neatly packed away. "Greetings," the Keldor said. He looked around the room, and even without most of his expression visible, gave the general impression of frowning. "Where are the Padawans?" Mace snorted. "Deppa took them to work out some energy, so I haven't told them the news yet. Would you like to hunt them down in the correct cell?" Plo inclined his head. They found the three easily, running through Sarasukatas. Mace could tell from a glance that the form did not suit John particularly well. That was no bother, though, considering his Padawan already had three forms he was prioritizing, and Mace still intended to teach him Vapod at some point in the future. Padawan Kenobi, though. Mace was pleased to see that his instinct was correct. Something about Saresu seemed to fit the older Padawan on an innate level. Though he was still learning most of the techniques that made Saresu what it was, Mace could see the beginning seeds of a true master. With John and Obi-Wan working together, they'd be practically unstoppable. It didn't take long before all three of them finished the set and turned toward them in the doorway. Mace stepped forward. "I have some news, based on recommendations from your mind healers." Both John and Obi-Wan immediately stiffened. Mace winced internally, sending a burst of reassurance, peace, nothing is wrong, down his bond with John, just for it to bounce off his shields. "It's good news," he said quickly. "We will all four of us be moving to shared quarters immediately. A suite." Deppa gaped. She was standing behind both John and Obi-Wan, so they couldn't see her expression, but from the flurry of questioning she sent down their bond, she knew exactly how unprecedented such a thing was. Both of the Padawans schooled their expressions quickly, glancing once at each other and then away. Now that they were aware of the bond, it seemed incredibly obvious to Mace that their understanding of the other was instinctive. "All right, we can pack our things," Obi-Wan said. John nodded once. Their faces revealed nothing, no excitement or relief or wariness. It made Mace feel uneasy. "It'll certainly make it easier to have sleepovers, little ones," Plo said gently. Both John and Obi-Wan flushed red, while Deppa, who hadn't gotten the full story, looked absolutely delighted. Mace would have to warn her not to tease, though, Force willing, she would be smart enough to realize that on her own. The new quarters were nice. Curled up on Obi-Wan's bed with the other boy pretending to read a novel on his pad next to him, John watched the door. Right outside was the living room, slightly larger than the old one he and Mace shared to accommodate four cohabitating beings, with two couches facing each other over a low center table, along with an armchair. The kitchen was airy, big enough for a small breakfast nook in addition to a dining table for six. John knew Obi-Wan was excited about the window above the sink and the empty planter boxes outside, a rarity for quarters in the temple, but theirs looked over one of the private gardens, so they didn't have to worry about polluted air from the traffic lanes. The fact that the windows went into the garden was also a perfect opportunity if they ever needed to flee again. Across the living room, opposite their rooms, were their master's rooms, but John hadn't lingered long in there after sorting the boxes that the moving droids had placed in the living area. He and Obi-Wan had their own separate rooms right next to each other, the same size as their old ones. Not that they were actually going to use them to the extent that was expected. They had decorated with their old things until they looked like nothing had changed, before John had joined Obi-Wan in his room. Through the open gap he had left, he could hear Master Koon humming to himself softly under the clinking of silverware in the kitchen. Master Mace was in his own room, fielding a comm from someone, John wasn't sure who. The quarters were neat, slowly being unpacked and possessions being combined together, as the two Master Padawan pairs began the process of living together. They were new, stale, uncomfortable. Even with the comfort of Obi-Wan with him, there was a cold spot in John's chest that refused to move, not with the healer's words still echoing in his mind. Bonded. Codependent. The suspicion that had bloomed the moment Master Mace had told them they would be moving into shared quarters together, Master Coon standing quietly behind him, had yet to abate. It certainly didn't help that John could feel the tension strangling Obi-Wan, now that they had two adults to watch for in their shared living space. Distrust fear flickered into the edges of Obi-Wan's mind, and he absently brushed back his agreement. What made it easier was the official acknowledgement of their bond. It had been somewhat of a surprise to John, which had made him feel silly once he actually started to pay attention to his awareness of Obi-Wan. Their connection in the Force was so obvious now that the healers had told them what had happened. But over the months that they had gotten to know each other, their bond crept up on them slowly, entwining their minds together until it felt like they had always been like that. An elbow knocked into his shoulder, and John glanced up at Obi-Wan. All he got in response was a raised eyebrow, which John wrinkled his nose at. Obi-Wan laughed and turned back to his book. At least with both of them in these quarters, it would be easier to keep watch. And if everything went to shit again, well, the go-bag in John's room was a wonderful decoration. And the wall panels in the cell a floor down from their usual one had been easy enough to peel off. End of chapter 26.